Blog Talk Radio.
Author Alexander Laughlin, the Burning Bush Church, 402 North 13th Street in Irwin, North Carolina. It's a kind of privilege and an honor to come before you this afternoon to share God's word. And that you might have an opportunity to do the Bible to the word, we're not go out and come out void, but accomplish what they're sending out to do. I come by to share with you this afternoon that God will bring you out. He will help you. He will. I want to encourage you this evening that God will bring you out no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how long you've been going through it. God wants to encourage you to change your mindset. I know that no matter what it is, God is ill. God is in the process right now. Even though it may look like he's not, he's in the process. You just got to believe it. You got to trust him. You can't lose hope. You can't lose confidence in the God of your salvation. You got to know that if God be for you, who then will be against you? You got to know that God is not a lying God. He said he'll stand on his own word. He said, swear, he told Abraham, upon my own name do I swear, he say, that I'll do it. Now, that's often when someone swears upon their own name, God upon his own name. In other words, not somebody else's name, but his own name. If he said it, songwriter said he shall do it. He shall surely bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. We got to learn how to. We got to learn how to wait quietly with our soul. My songwriter said, "My soul waited quietly because on God." We got to wait on him and know that he's going to do it. Even though when it looks like he's not going to do it, just imagine. And it chilled me if you waited 400 years. You ain't got to wait no 400 years. The children of Israel waited 400 years. Isn't that a long time? 400 years. Now you encouraging your family, your in-laws, your outlaws, your kinfolk, and your cousins, and your children, your children's children. 400 years. Children encouraging children, children encouraging children, grandchildren, telling them that God is going to bring you out of this bondage. Pharaoh beating their back with taskmasters. They got to get up in the morning with sorrow. They got with sorrow. But they learned how to sing a song of praise. They learned how to have a positive attitude while they were going through in those 400 years. If they had not kept the faith, if they have not stood on the word of God, if they had not believed it, that God was going to bring them out, they would have fainted. That's why David said, if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord, in the land and live away on the Lord and build good courage. He shall strengthen that heart. See, that's what Satan does. He wants you not to believe. He can get your faith. He can get you to doubt. He gets you to believe that God is not going to bring you out. Then you become discouraged. You have nothing to hope for. No one hopes for what they don't believe. And Satan wants you to just lose your faith, lose your confidence in God. Come on, what are you going to do if you lose your confidence in God? Where are you going to go if you lose your confidence in God? You know, the disciples would ask the question because God told some of the people that they were just following him for what they could eat. Not more so much because they love him, but they were following him because of the bread they could eat and eating everything. The Bible said they got offended and left. And then Jesus looked at the disciples and asked them the question, well, are you going to leave me too? And they said to him, Lord, where shall we go? For you have the word of life. Oh, well, where are we going to go to? I mean, and you will live, and you will move, and you will have our being. When you can learn how to move in God and have your being in God and live in God and think in God, keep God on your mind every moment of the hour, yes, it can be done. The Bible says, let the mind that be in Christ be in you. So you got to have the mind of Christ. You got to think positive. You got to think like you're a winner. You got to think like you're victorious. I don't care. When I was in prison and in there, I had to think positive. I had to believe that one day everything going to be all right. Regardless of what the judge said, telling me that I'm facing almost 100 years. Regardless of going locked up in confinement, it looked like all hope is gone. And I'm around folks who got no hope because they done gave up 300 years and 200 years and 30 years. And folks done, you know, trying to make me doubt because their hope was gone. See what Satan does. He puts folks around you that got no hope so they can steal your hope. But I kept the hope. I kept hope alive. I kept the I believed it. That this was not the end of my story. I believed that this was not going to be my story. I believed that there was more to this than me being confined and solitary confined, and this going to be my story for me to tell my children and my children. So no, that was not the story I was going to tell. Yes, I made the mistake with me. There ain't no me lying on God, lying on the devil. I did it myself. I put myself there. I the one made the mistake. Was, you know, there's a Beretta, you know, I don't know him. He used to be a movie. He used to come on with a cop, a police. He made a statement. He said, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. So I was doing the time because I did the crime. And I admit that I was guilty of what I did. But God been so gracious. God been so merciful, did not lead me. He did not lead me there because I made him my Lord and Savior. And ever since I made him my Lord and Savior, he had been good to me. He had brought me up, out, and over. He got all in the paperwork. He got all in the juridical system. He got all in the lawyer. He got all in the counselors. He got all in the courts. And what was bad, God made good. I was supposed to go back to court again for 10 more years for another felony for 10 more years. I was supposed to go back, but because I had made God my Lord and Savior, God got on in the system and in the my counselor. You know, when you go to prison, every prisoner has a counselor, have someone there who's responsible to try to talk with them and encourage them that when they get out, they might go the right way. They might, you know, have a right way of thinking. You know what I'm saying? The purpose of solitary confinement or to be confined is to cause you to see yourself. So when you get out, you won't do the same thing. But some people got out and got right back in, got out, came right back because their mindset. They didn't change. They didn't see it wrong. They didn't see where they have made a mistake. But I just thank God who brought me out. I want y'all to know when I say out, up, out, and over, he brought me into a wealthy place. He brought me to a place I never dreamed that I could ever be. He's been good to me. He blessed me with nothing. I had nothing. I just come out and encourage you that God will bring you out. He will establish your going. He will bring you into a wealthy place. It don't matter what you ain't got. God got all that you need. In him we live. In him we move. He got all that you need. Everything you need. I encourage you this evening. I just come out with encouraging words. Let you know that no matter where you at, no matter what state it is, no matter what state of mind you be in or what situation you be in, I come out and encourage you. You hang on in there. You hold on. Don't you quit. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you give up on God? Mm-hmm, baby. Listen, let me share something with you. Nothing with God is a whole lot. Nothing with God is more than riches with some others. You got folks out there got riches and wealth and all that, and you looking at their riches and wealth and think they got something. I come out and tell you that little bit you think you ain't got is more than what they is got. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they might look like they're millionaires and wealthy and well to do and all that right there, but you get your focus on God and know that he will bring you out. Know that he didn't bring you this far and lead you now. He come into prison and he got me. He brought me out with nothing. He began to bless me in 1979. He brought me out of prison in 1980. He began to bless me. Yes, he did. And in 1981, he gave me a beautiful woman. He gave me an angel from heaven who we had just celebrated 43 years on Valentine's Day. We got married on Valentine's Day. We just celebrated 43 years. This is what God had been telling you. He gave me a woman that had the heart of God and the heart of my mother, a woman who loved God and still loved God, who had pushed me to let me know that even though I ain't got nothing, I can have something. They say behind every good man is a good woman. I would admit to that. Amen. A good woman was behind me, pushing me, wouldn't let me die, wouldn't let her, wouldn't let me give up, wouldn't listen. She wouldn't let me look at what it hung. She wouldn't let me look at what I didn't have because she was trying to help me see what I was going to get. Did y'all hear what I just said? My English teacher might not like how I said that, but I'm going to say it again. She wouldn't let me look at what I didn't have because she was steady trying to get me to focus on what I was going to get. Isn't that something? That's the kind of person you need in your life that will help you focus on what you're going to get and not on what you ain't got. Because focusing on what you ain't got ain't going to help you get it. For the Bible says, forget the things that are behind you. Reach forward to the things that are before you. Press to the mark of the prize of a higher calling in Christ Jesus. Uh-huh. Somebody said, we ain't got no stripper. Well, the stripper said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And if God be for me, who then can be against you? Then no scripture right by itself. Let you know if God be for you. He didn't say against you. He said if God be for you. Don't worry about who's against you if God be for you. Because the Bible says he's more than those that are against you. David said if 1,000 fall at my right side and at my side and 10,000 at my right side, David said it shall not come at me. David said it don't matter how many falling on one side and how many falling on the other side. I'm not even focusing on that. David said, my mind is on God. My mind is on Christ. He said, it shall not come back me. I will not be discouraged by other people that are failure, he said, but other people disappointment. And that's when we get all caught up in other people, what other people are going through, and try to judge our life according to what's happening to other people. This is personal. This is between you and the Lord. And I declare unto you that he will bring you out. And I said, he blessed me to get married in 1981, then in 1982, amen. He blessed me to go into the ministry. I preached my trial service on the 4th of July. Oh, my God. And he kept right on blessing me. And then in 1885, he blessed me to be asked by members of the church to come and pastor and be their assistant pastors. And I did that and stayed there for 19 years. And God just healed, delivered, and set free. He worked a miracle. He opened up blinded eyes, deaf ears, lame to walk, meek to speak. God had just been blessing me. He listened. God was blessing me so much looking forward that I couldn't look back. I didn't have time to look back at what I had gone through because I was trying to look at what God was trying to do. God said, like, hey, every time I felt like looking back, God would holler, hey, this way, over here. We got somebody hollering over here. Somebody keep on encouraging, keep on reminding you, don't look back. Over here. God kept reminding me, over here, don't look back. What I got for you is over here, it ain't back there. And I'm walking from back there. See, we live too much in the past. You hear what I'm saying? We live too much. We live too long in the past. See, Satan knows, listen. He knows, don't think he's not done. Satan knows, listen to me. Satan knows that your blessing is in the future, not in the past. But he want to keep you in the past. So as long as you stay in the past, you can't get your blessing in the future. So you in the past. That's why Paul said, forget the things that are behind you. Let the past go. Let the hurt go. Let the disappointment go. Let the failure go. Let the mishap go. Let the hurt go. Let what they said about you go. Let the debt that you lost go. Because Satan wants you to hold on to it. Because, see, you got to understand you're serving God. And whatever you lost, no matter what you lost, God's going to give you back 100% because you said, because you let him have it. He said, visit the mindset of the Lord. He said, I will repay. He said, I will pay. Don't you try to fix it. Don't you try to fix it. He wants you to hold on to hurt. He wants you to hold on to sorrow. He wants you to hold on to a pity party. He wants you to stay on and say, hold on to misery. He wants you to stay in Moping Valley. Yeah. He wants you to stay there. I reminded of the eagle, how they say that when an eagle gets so much stuff built up on his wings, he'll go down in the Moping Valley. He don't go down there to stay. But he'll come back up. And they say when he go down to the valley, he doesn't fly out. He crawls out. He crawls up the mountain side. Like once, well, why wouldn't he fly? Then he could fly because he's trying to get that debris, that rough rocks and that, and them limbs and briars and all that debris on the mountain. As he climbs back up, it tears and it rips all that mildew and all that buildup on his wings. So by the time he gets to the top of the mountain, he can fly again free. He don't have no more buildup. He don't have no issues, no weight hanging on to him because while he climbed up the mountain, it tore all that mess off of his feet and his ankle that were built up on his claws. That's why the songwriter picked it up and said, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. See, we don't want to come on the rough side of the mountain. We don't want to. We want to always be in the cotton field. We always want to be in Pleasantville. We want everything always be working in our favor. But, baby, these things, they're working all, they're working for your favor. So your eyes have not seen and your ears have not heard. But God got waiting for them to love him. All you're going through, all your suffering, all your failure, all your disappointment, all your hurting is like the eagle coming up on the mountain, baby. It comes to make you better. You ain't going to be made better. You're not going to be made stronger. You're not going to become the soldier that God wants you to be with everything working in your favor. Nobody wants to hurt. Nobody wants to go through sorrow. Nobody wants to go through disappointment. Nobody wants to go through loss. But the Bible said these things are working for a far greater reward for us. Mm-hmm. In glory. These things are working in your favor. They're building you up. They're making you stronger. How can you tell somebody that God will bring you out and you ain't never been through nothing? Anybody hear where I'm coming from? These things coming to give you a testimony so you can tell them that God can bring you out. God broke you out of cancer when the doctor gave up on you, gave you a bad report when the doctor told you you had cancer. But look at you now. You're cancer-free. No matter where the cancer was in your body, you're now cancer-free. You got a testimony to tell. Nobody want to hear about cancer. Nobody want to hear that they had cancer. Nobody. I know how it feels when they're out to tell you you got something better and you didn't want to hear it, hoping you never got there. But, Lord, you got a report today that if God be for you, uh-huh, many is affliction of the righteous. But God said he will bring you not out of some of them. God said he will bring you out of all of them. How many know that God ain't a lying God? He'll do just what he said. He said if he be for you, who then could be against you? So I somebody encourage you. Keep the faith. Keep hope alive. Uh-huh. Know that God is on your side. He's not against you. So get up. Check off. Get back on the right track. Mm-hmm. Forget those things that's behind you. Forget those things that you've done. Amen. God ain't got time to play games with you. Get rid of it. Let it go. It'll be all right. You let it go. Oh, my God. Let it go. And I encourage you, you will come out a winner every time. Because God is working in your favor. But the songwriter said it's working in your favor. And he's working it out for you. But you guys know this. So quit talking and feeding that problem. Quit feeding that situation. Mm-hmm. Quit feeding it. You are feeding it. And as long as you feed it, it's going to be there. Don't feed it. Don't feed it. Keep running up, having no pity party, talking about the sickness, talking about the failure, talking about what they did to you. Because that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to sit back and live in the past. But I want you to know that Jeremiah 29:11 says, he said, I know my thoughts concerning you. Thoughts are good, said God, and not evil. Other words, God said, my thoughts are good thoughts. Good thoughts and not evil thoughts. To prosper you. To bring you to an expected end. How many know that God want to bring you to an expected end? What is that, Apostle? That's a good end. God thinking the best for you. He's not sitting here thinking you. Here you done messed up and done wrong. Here you beating yourself up, having a pity party and think that God is thinking like you. God ain't thinking like you. I come out and encourage you. God is not thinking like you. All that mess you think is God ain't no nearby. He's not even thinking like you thinking. But he got your good. He got your good. God got your good. God got your good in mind. Songwriter said he's working it out. Yes, he is. He's working it out, even so right now. So you be encouraged. You be encouraged. Keep on looking to the hill with some of your help. Knowing that all your help does come from the Lord. Let's think about the pages of the old. What they gave up. What they thought looking at what they're going through. Some of them. Oh, I'm in the word now. Let's talk about Joseph. What if Joseph had gave up after his brother did what they did to him? That was a bad thing they did to him. Do you understand? They what they did to him was not the Lord thing. Joseph could have focused on what they did to him. He could have lost his joy, but he didn't. But he kept on looking to the hill. We're coming to his help. His brothers sold him into Egypt. Yes, they did. They won't kill him at first, but God wouldn't allow them to do so. God ain't going to let anybody kill you. God got your back. What they want to do to you, if they could have done to you what they want to do to you, you'd have been destroyed a long time ago. But God ain't going to let them do it, because God is on your side. He didn't bring you this far to lead you. You got the victory. Do you hear what I say? You got the victory. You already a winner. You ain't going to be a winner. The scripture say you already a winner. Amen. But when all that stuff started happening to Joseph, the Bible said that he kept the faith. First of all, they sold him into Egypt. Sold him into a caravan. He ended up in Potiphar's house. But out of all that, he didn't give up. Out of all this, he did not quit. He did not throw in the towel. He did not let what he went through discourage him. But he stayed faithful right there in somebody else's house. I mean, taken away from his family, from his dad. His brothers and sold him into Egypt. He could have been just trying to think about how I'm going to get back home. But no, the man put him in charge of his house. He stayed faithful to the incident occurred where the man's wife had to, cause him to do wrong. Yeah, then he ended up in prison. But even in prison, he could have had a pity party. He could have acted all beside himself. He could have just got to crying the blues. He couldn't help nobody. You can't help nobody crying the blues. You can't help nobody if you don't learn how to deal with your own situation. If you don't learn how to deal with your own circumstance in life, you can't help nobody. That's why God carries us through. He carries us through so we'll pass the test, not fail the test. God, the Bible says every man works to be tried to see what sort they be. God is trying you so he can take you from first grade to second grade, from second grade to third grade to fourth grade to fifth grade to sixth grade. You know how it works. All the way up to 12th grade, then you go to college if you want to, then be a chancellor or a dean or whatever, or learn some trade. But you go from one grade to another. But no teacher graduates no child to the second grade. He ain't even passed third grade. And this is what we want to do with God. We want God to give us third grade blessing when we ain't even passed third grade. We ain't even passed second grade. We want God to jump over from third grade to fifth grade, and we still here in the third grade. God, the Bible said, if a man's work shall be tried, you got to pass these tests. Uh-huh. When you lied on, you got to pass the test. Uh-huh. And not lie on somebody else because they lied on you. When you're talked about, you got to pass the test. Uh-huh. Because the Bible says, men shall revive you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. This is the part that we fail. We don't do what the scripture says. Listen to what the scripture says. The scripture said in the fifth chapter of Matthew, it said, men shall revive you and persecute you. And say all manner of evil against you falsely. Shall rejoice and be exceedingly glad. The great is your reward in heaven. God's going to bring you out. Yes, they're talking about you. But God will give you the victory over there out the line. So he's going to make them stop talking. He's going to deal with them. He's going to let them know it's wrong. But here you is trying to fix it. Here you is worrying about, they talking about me. You begin to stop being motivated. You start being active. You begin to look at what they said about you, what they're doing to you. And now God can't get no glory out of you. And you can't get no testimony out of you. Because you in Moton Valley. You in the Looney Dome. You just sitting back all joyless, won't testify. Ain't got no testimony for what they said about you. Done took your testimony. See, it done took your joy, and when your joy left, your testimony went with. And you ain't going to testify no matter God bring you out. But God wants you to have a testimony in the midst of your going through. You'll be able to tell the testimony that I don't look like what I've been through. But they lied on me, I kept on going. Though they talked about me, I kept on going. So they hung my name on a signboard. I kept on doing. I didn't get in no pity party. I didn't get on the Facebook and try to get even with them. I didn't get on the phone and try to get even with them. I didn't get a group with my friend and try to get even with them. But I gave it to the Lord. But the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, and he will establish and bring it to pass. You've got to learn how to commit things to God, no matter what it looks like, no matter how bad it is, no matter what they said about you, no matter what they done to you. Joseph committed them to the Lord. Joseph gave it to God, and no matter what happened to him, he gave it to the Lord. And when that woman did what she did and had him put in prison, he didn't give up. He gave it to the Lord because he knew he ain't did no wrong. He took it and Trevor took those dreams to those two men. He wasn't so discouraged. Landed on his pillow with his back against the wall. It is all of the world because he was hurt, because he was wrong. No, he stayed faithful. He used the gift that God gave him. And he had those two men delivered. One, of course, one was hung and the other was delivered back into the king. But a couple of years later, the man was reminded about what Joseph did to him. And Joseph kept the faith. And because Joseph kept the faith, he was able to come up out of the dungeon. He was able to come up out of the prison. That's why I say from the prison to the palace. God want to bring you from the prison to the palace. He want to bring you from where you were at to where he's trying to take you. He's trying to bring you from misery to joy. From lost to found, from down to up. He want to take that frown off your face with a smile. But God needs your help. He needs you to pass the test. He needs you to do what the word says. I'm going to look into the hills with come my help, knowing that all my help comes from the Lord. And I just praise him. I lift him up. I magnify his name. And y'all know the story. Because Joseph kept the faith, because Joseph didn't give in to life circumstance. He didn't give in to what his brother did to him. He ended up standing before Pharaoh because he interpreted the dream, and Pharaoh had a dream. And I ain't going to go through the dream that Pharaoh had because y'all know what the dream was. But Joseph was able to interpret to Pharaoh what the dream was, letting him know that a famine was coming. And the famine was going to be so great that you need to store up. You need to store up somebody. And he said somebody need to store up some grain because the 7 years of famine going to be so greater than the 7 years of plenty. So it's going to look like they won't even know 7 years of plenty. But the king saw the wisdom that was in Joseph. He saw the knowledge that was in Joseph. He saw the excellency that was in Joseph. Why? Because Joseph kept the faith. See, baby, when you keep the faith, God will let people see the excellency in you. When you keep the faith, God will let people see the knowledge in you. Let people see the meekness in you. See the temperance in you. You didn't lose your cool. You didn't lose your mind. You didn't act foolish. You didn't have a nervous breakdown. You didn't have a temper tantrum. People see all that stuff there. See, the devil come to make you lose it. He make you lose your cool. Make you disgrace yourself, disgrace God. Because you just thrown in the towel and acted right crazy and gave into what you were going through. But it's time you learn to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God and you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil ain't doing no more to you. Listen, the Bible said that no man to tempt it, no more than another man. The devil tempt you just like he tempt me. It ain't doing nothing special to you. He ain't doing to me and somebody else. We all going through. We all have trials. We all have tests. And if I got to pass my test, you got to pass your test. If I got to keep the joy, you got to keep the joy. If I got to forgive those that hurt me, you got to forgive those that hurt you. If I got to lay down every weight that sins or either beset me, you got to lay down. The sins or either beset you too. So the scripture said what he said to one, he said to all. I hope I'm talking to somebody this evening because you said letting Satan draw you. You can't even do nothing for God. God can't even get nothing out of you. You're stale. You're held back. You're in a backward situation because you back there where you were hurt at. You back there where you were lied on at. You back there where they dumped you wrong at. And they're talking about they're in my church and they in my home and in my neighborhood. And I thought they were my friends. And I thought they were this. Jesus said if they did it to me, who are you? Who are you? Let it go. Turn it loose. Wipe them tears out of your eye. Get up from there. get up. That's what God told. So that's what God told Abraham when he was there crying, because the people of God were calling and singing and acting crazy. They called Pharaoh was behind the knee of just him out of Egypt. And Moses down there on his knee with tears in his eyes, so he don't know what to do. And God told him to shut up that crying. God told him, get up from there. Now, what's in your hand? Moses said, I ain't got nothing but a stick in my hand. God said, shut up. Take that stick and hold that stick. What did I tell you about that stick? Didn't I tell you you're going to lead kings and preachers with that stick? Leaders of the nation, take that stick now. Okay, God, okay. Hold that stick out. Moses held that stick out over the old Red Sea. You know what he did. And the water departed on one side and on another. And the Bible says that the wind blowed all night long until the mud turned into dust. They didn't go start crossing in no mud, because the scripture said they were going to go crossing in dry ground. If God says something, that's exactly what you're going to do. God ain't going to have you going through no mud when he told you were going through on dry ground. God told them they were going through on dry ground. But whenever the water rolled back, it was still mud in the bottom. You hear what I'm saying? But the Bible said the north wind and east wind, the wind blowed. And the wind blowed into the bottom of the ocean. And the wind dried up the mud and turned into dust. They went across in dust. They went across in dry ground. Want a drop of water. Want a bit of mud under their feet. Because the wind blowed it dry. You hear what I'm saying? God got your back, baby. God got your back. God got your back. God got your back. You hear me? You're going through. You're going to the other side. You ain't going to have no mud on your feet when you get there. You're going through victorious. If God be for you, who then can be against you? If God be on your side, he more than them that against you. So you quit focusing. I'll encourage somebody this evening. I come out and tell you, quit focusing. Quit focusing. Quit focusing. Quit focusing on what you're going through. Quit looking at what you're going through. That's why you can't go forward, because you keep looking at what you're going through. Let it go. God got greater things in store. You hear me? Let the hurt go. Let them that hurt you go. You're still trying to hang around them that hurt you, want them to come back in your life. Come on, let me help you. You hanging around somebody. He done battered you. He done beat you. He done disrespect you. And you want him to come back. Tell me he's going to change. He's not going to change. Baby, if God can't change it, you can't change it. Let him go so God can bring somebody else in your life. Let him go so God can bring another woman or another man in your life that will treat you for the king and the priest that you are. You belittling yourself with that loser. You belittling yourself with that batter, that person that disrespecting you, not treating you for who you are. Your joy is bound, and your victory is caught up in them. But you want them to come back in your life and act better. No, baby, if God ain't with them, they're not going to act. But if they don't change, they don't need to come back in your life. That's why the Bible said, let it go. Forget the things that are behind. Let it go. You don't been hurt so bad. You don't went through so much. You don't let it affect you so much that you don't even know your will. You don't even know your worth. You don't know that God got greater waiting for you down the road, greater than him, greater than her, greater than them, greater than they. You don't need to be their friend. Here you are, that went all out of your way to be their friend, and here they done belittle you and talk about you and weren't there for you. You were there for them, and now they ain't there for you, and you want them to come back in your life. No. No, let them go. Let them go so God can bring you some more friends, so God can bring some more people into your life, people that got your back. People that are praying for you, people that are caring for you, people that are due for you, people that who see who you are, because you don't even see who you are. You don't even see who you are. That's sad that you don't went through so much that you are settled on anything right now, because you don't see who you are. You don't fail to realize that you're royalty. You don't fail to realize that God got greater in store for you, that you can do better than what you do. Uh-huh. You ain't got to settle on 20 when God got 80 for you. That's your loss. It ain't nothing that you done. I come out and encourage some wives this evening. Oh, this is my spirit. I come out and encourage some wife been hurt, some wife who have been done wrong, some wife who's thinking within herself, what else could I have done? What else could I have done to make him stay? It's partly my fault. It's not your fault. It is not your fault. Ain't nothing else you could have done. He allowed lust. He allowed us in fornication. He allowed sexual immorality to come into your marriage. It wasn't you. Ain't nothing you could have done. Cut your hair, put on makeup, dress different. Lust, baby, is blind. It cannot see. He let lust get in him, and the lust blinded him, and he couldn't see what he had. So he let 80 go for 20. It ain't your loss. Quit wanting him to come back. I know you love him, but learn how to let hurt go, baby. Learn how to let the past go. Turn him loose so God can bring somebody in your life. You'd have been dominant long enough. You'd have been hiding behind the shade long enough. You'd have been sitting behind that curtain long enough, got that curtain pulled in that dark room. Go home and shut the door. Baby, when you shut other people out, you shut yourself out too. You ain't just hurting others. You're hurting your own self. When you close other out, you close yourself out. Listen, you got to remember, a wall works both ways. When you put up a wall, you're not only keeping other people out, you're keeping yourself out too. And now you all by yourself in Lonelyville, thinking it's okay. You know, talking, I don't need no friend. Who does she to have friend? The Bible says he that want a friend, let him show himself friendly. Don't you let because somebody hurt you. Don't just because some friend did you wrong and you try to shift the whole world out. We need one another. The songwriter said, I need you. You need me. We all are part of God's family. All a part of God's body. I pray for you. You pray for me. Because we're all a part of God's body. Don't hurt me with words from your mouth. And I won't hurt you with words from my mouth. Because we're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. And I'll stand with you. Because we're all a part of God's body. It's time that we wake up. Quit letting Satan win. Excuse me. Quit letting Satan have a field day with that mess that he's doing. Got you hanging on to the past. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God said, let it go. Let it go. He can't bring you out. He said, because you won't let it go. Somebody's trying to pull you and you're holding on to something. They can't take you nowhere long you're holding on to what you're holding on to. You got to let go for order to go to the next level. Turn it loose. Let it go. Lay it down. Let it go. Turn it loose. Because your blessing is in front of you, not behind you. And yes, it's a disappointment. It hurts. Many times we don't want to let go of loss. Many times we don't want to lose. We want to lose no one. But sometimes you got to accept the loss and start all over again. Start all over again. You got to learn how to start over again. David said in the 21st Psalm, after the first verse, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, or the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You got to know that the Lord is your life. And in him, you can't fear what man going to do. Fear of this and that. Many people want to go looking for God because they fear that he's going to hurt them. No. Baby, I heard so many no's. I quit counting. When I went looking for a job, I had so many no's. But you know what? I quit counting the no's. I get up the next day and go again. I get up the next day and go again. I get up the next day and go again. I won't know that one day I won't get again. You hear what I say? I know that one day I won't get again. And one day my yes came. And I got a good job. A job that I stayed with until the day I retired because I kept going. You can't give up on no's. No's going to come in your life. Realize that. Not just looking for a job and many other areas of your life. No's going to come. But quit focusing on the no's. That's all focusing on the yes. Quit counting the no's and start counting the yes. I guarantee you, if you count your yes and quit counting your no's, you'll have more yes than you'll have no's. You hear what I'm saying? No disappointment going to come. No's going to come. They're going to come. Disappointment going to come. You may not get, you ain't going to always get what you want. You're not always going to work in your favor. That don't mean it's a bad thing. Because nothing moves except it be moved by the power of God. You hear what I'm saying? God got it. He got it. And he's going to work it out in your faith. When it's all over it, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to him who is called according to their purpose. Thought it was working against you. It was working in your favor. It happened for a reason. Remember, God sees tomorrow, the next day, a month from now, a year from now. God see what you don't see. You hear what I'm saying? So quit beating yourself up. because of failed things in your life. Quit beating yourself up because of disappointing things in your life. And yeah, you might even be guilty. You even might be guilty of what happened to you. But let that go too. You ain't got no right to hold on to that. No more you got it if somebody else did. Let it go. That chapter is over. Let it go. Mm-hmm. Change to the next chapter. God got another chapter waiting for you. But you got to let that chapter go. You hear what I'm saying? Let them friend go. Let that man go. Let that woman go. Let that boyfriend, girlfriend go. Don't you go commit suicide. God didn't just put one person in this world. If that person didn't work out in your favor, that means they won't for you. Why are you going to take your life? Why you keep pursuing them? If somebody show you they ignore you, if somebody show you they don't want you, if somebody show you a way to act that they rejecting you, why are you still running after them? Why are you still letting them occupy your life? Occupy your space, stealing your joy, stealing your future, because you can't go nowhere, because you want them a part of your life, but they don't show you. They don't want you. This not mean. Then you got to get wisdom. They don't show you that they don't want you in their ways and their actions. They don't reject you. They don't cheat on you. They don't lie on you. They don't cut you in your back. They don't almost kill you. They don't almost destroy you. And you want them to come back. No, baby, wake up. Somebody said, wake up and smell the coffee. No, I come out and encourage you. Don't you just wake up and smell the coffee. You need a good cup. You need to drink your cup of coffee. Wake up and drink the coffee. See yourself. See your failure. See your mistake. Have an inventory on you. Your other people rule you. And then somebody, I don't know who I'm talking to, you don't control your spirit. You're controlled by somebody else. You love them that much. They're hurting you. They're doing you wrong. And you love them so much that you're letting them rule over you. God never meant for nobody to allow nobody to rule over them. God didn't mean for you to give your spirit to somebody else. The Bible said he had no rule over his spirit. The Bible said he that had no rule over his spirit is like a city whose walls are torn down. Let me explain that what it means. In the Bible day, cities had walls around them. And when the enemy came to attack that city, many times they couldn't defeat that city. They couldn't destroy that city because that city had walls around them. Jericho had walls around them. Only way the children of Israel got into Jericho, God tore the walls down. But other than that, the children of Israel had never got into Jericho because the walls were high. The walls were high around Jericho. You hear me? But if a city was out there and it didn't have no wall, no matter how fast the city was, it didn't matter how wealthy the city was, but if the city was out there and that city didn't have no wall, when the enemy came in by the 1,000 and 10,000, they wake up in the morning, they'd be in captivity. The enemy be took over that city, because that city had no protection. It had no walls on it. The enemy could come in and do what he wanted to do. And that's the way it is if you let others rule your spirit. If you have no rule of your spirit, let others tell you what to do. You acting on what others say. Oh, come on, he didn't mean to beat me. He didn't mean it. He didn't mean to hurt me. Like I made him mad. It was my fault. You need to wake up. You need to wake up and get rule over your spirit. This man is ruling you. This man has destroyed you. He already got you in a dead-end situation. Tell you if you leave, he's going to kill you. Baby, you need to go to God. You need to tell God. You say, God, listen, I'm in a situation where I want to get out of. And this man done told me that he's going to kill me, God. And because he told me that I fell into fear, I fell in a deadlock situation. And I ain't doing nothing but taking his mess. He treat me wrong. He treat me bad. He cheating on me. But I'm scared, God, if I leave. He said if he can't have me, nobody else going to have me. And I'm scared, God. And, God, I commit it into your hand. And I need you to deliver me. I need you to bring me out. I need you to show me what to do, God, because I don't know what to do. I want you to know if you do what I just said, God going to give you the victory. God going to bring you out, baby, if you have to bring the undertaker. Do you hear what I say? God ain't going to leave you there. You done pray to God like that. You done acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. For the Bible, Shatta, he combated a Boshe. For the Bible said in all thy heart, shout out a Boshe. For the Bible said in all thy ways, I feel it anointed. I'm talking to somebody. The Bible said in all thy ways, acknowledge God, and he shall direct thy path. You just can't go back home and tell that man you'd have been staying with him 17 years. You'd have been with him 15 years. Y'all got two or three children. You'd have went to church and got saved. You done got born again. You might have got the Holy Ghost while you there. You can't go back home and tell that man that you go get out of that relationship because you saved now and you can't go to bed. You think he going to hear that he ain't been saved? He ain't been born again? No, no. You got to use wisdom. You got to ask God whether to stay there or how to get out. Until God shows you how to get out, you need to stay right there because you could endanger your life by being unwise. You got to let wisdom take place. You got to let God direct your path. You got to let God show you how to come out. If you're in a bad situation, lady, quit telling him you're going to leave. Because by you telling him to leave, you ain't going to make him madder, madder. I'm going to be gone when you get back. I'm going to show you. No, don't do that. Be quiet and pray to God and let God lead you what to do. And when he's gone, when he ain't worried, when he ain't there, whatever God tells you to do, you do that. And when you do it, don't look back. Don't look back. You hear me? That's the problem. You keep looking back. You keep coming back thinking he's going to change. He's going to bring you a big old rose, a big old bouquet of flowers, bring you a big old thing of chocolate candy and all that mess, telling you, I'm sorry I did it. I'm sorry I almost put your eye out. I'm sorry I almost broke your leg. I'm sorry I beat you down with the lamp or beat you down with that chair. And you got the audacity over a bouquet of flour and a box of candy to go back to that battered man. A battered man is a battered man, and he ain't going to change. No, he ain't, baby. If God don't change, he ain't going to change. You need to get somebody while you yet still got some beauty left, while you still can love. You need to get somebody in your life that will encourage you, that will lift up your spirit, that will help you make it to the next level. I don't know who I'm talking to. But I'm coming to tell you, pray. The Bible said pray. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit this thing to God. Tell God about it. God already knows. He already knows what you're going through, but he wants you to commit it to him. He wants you to let him have it. And I guarantee you, if you let God have it, God will bring you up, God will bring you out, and God will bring you over. God will give you the victory. You hear what I'm saying? God will give you the victory. Revelation 15:4 says, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. God is a righteous God. He's a holy God. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He don't want you in that situation, and he didn't put you there. You put yourself there. But God will bring you out, thinking God wants you to stay there. Because you've been taught from the old school that he's yours and you're going to stay there because you married him. He's going to be dead. Baby, if he's beating you, if he's battling you, if he's tormenting you, the Bible said, let one go to the east and the other go to the north. If he's doing that to you, you need to ask God to help you come out. Come out and stay out until God tells you different. I come out and let somebody know this thing. You can come out. See, sometimes the reason we don't come out because we got ourselves locked in. We got ourselves held in, and we blame it on God. God will never let you stay in a situation. If you ain't came out, you need to ask yourself, what am I doing? Why I'm not coming out? You go in your prayer closet. You shut that door. I'm talking to somebody this evening. You go in that prayer closet. You shut that door. You talk to your Heavenly Father. You tell God what you're going through. Acknowledge the Lord. Be sincere. Quit playing games. Quit making like you want to come out. But if you really want to come out, God sent me by this evening to tell you he will bring you out. Children of Israel waited 400 years. You remember how long that is? 400 years. You got to give up. About 400 times. You ain't been in enough 3 weeks. You ain't been in a good month. You ain't been in a 6 month. What about 400 years? Keeping the faith. 400 years they kept the faith. And one day God sent Moses and brought them out. So God said he's going to do it. He sent their deliverer. Your deliverer is on the way. So God is your deliverer. God is your hope. God is your sustainer. God is the lifter up of your head. But I encourage you, don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Get your joy back. Get your praise back. If you got to go out in the woods and dance by yourself, you got to go in the backyard and dance by yourself, whatever you got to do, get your praise back. The Bible should be steadfast. See, that's what you've not been doing. What that means is when the military, they tell you mark time mark. You're marching, but you ain't going nowhere. You ain't losing no ground. You ain't gaining no ground. You're concentrating on what you're going to do in the next move. Be you steadfast and immovable, always abiding. See, Satan don't want you always abiding. This is the part where Satan get in. He don't want you always abiding the work of God. You start getting into self. You start getting into flesh. You get to start trying to fix things yourself. You get to start taking matters in your own hands. But the scriptures are big and steadfast and immovable. Don't let your trials move you. Let your trials make you stop singing. Don't let your trials make you stop praying. Don't let your trials make you stop fasting. Don't let your trials make you stop seeking the faith of God. Don't make your trials make you stop looking into the healing when it comes to your health. Huh? Yeah. So Satan wants you to do is go back smoking. Mm-hmm. You used to smoke every time you get upset. Uh-huh. You used to smoke every time you get a child. Every time, or get you a joint of marijuana, or get you a drink of liquor, or get you some snuff and you're chilling about it. Because things like that, it comforts you when you're going through. And you'll go back to, Satan wants you to go back to that stuff that you let go, that stuff that you laid down, that stuff that you got victory over. Go ahead and get you a drink. You know what the Bible said, a little drink for your misery. That's what he wants you to do, to get you right, wind it and tangle it back up into material things of life. But I come out here and encourage you. Touch not, taste not, hell are not the unclean things of this world. Don't you let Satan take you back to where God brought you from. The Bible said, be not like the south who was taken out of the mud. You hear what I'm saying? When that south was taken out of the mud, that south went back in the mud. Why did he go back in the mud? Because he still had the nature that he had. God brought you out and gave you a new nature. You ain't got the nature that sow had. Nobody changed that sow nature. That sow went back to the mud because that was his nature, to live in the mud. A hog supposed to live in the mud. Amen? That's what a hog's supposed to do. That's his nature. When a hog is raised, most of the time you raise, I know they got these new pens now that raise them on cement floors, but hogs were raised out in the country. Hogs, they lived in the mud because that was their nature. So no matter what you put on that hog, put a three-piece suit on him and a Stacey Adams and a $3,000 watch on his leg, he's going to go back to the mud because that's his nature. But the Bible said, be not like the sow who went back to the mud or the dog who went back to his vomit. The dog will throw something up and then he'll turn around and go back and eat it. The Bible said, don't do that. Don't you throw up this world and then next day turn around and go back and eat this world. Oh, that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants to go back and eat that you throwed up. But this world is dirty. This world is nasty. This world is ungodly. This world is unclean. This world is lustful. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. The pride of life. That's what this world is about. And you done throwed that up. God done brought you out. The Bible said, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. God brought you out from the things of this world, but Satan wants you to go back and eat it. He wants you to start going back to the club, start going back drinking and back fornicating and cheating and having sexual intercourse. That's what Satan wants you to do because he wants to keep you defiled. He wants to keep you displeasing the Lord. But I come out to tell you to hold on. Hold on just a little while longer. Everything's going to be all right. Hold on. Hold on a little while longer. Hold on. Hold on a little while longer. Hold on, hold on a little while longer. Everything's gonna be all right. Hold on, hold on a little while longer. Hold on, hold on a little while longer. Hold on, hold on a little while longer. Everything's gonna be all right. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, 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 hold on. Everything's gonna be alright. Hold on, hold on, little while longer. Hold on, hold on, little while longer. Hold on, hold on, little while longer. Everything's gonna be alright. I'm not telling you this because I'm just trying to make you feel good. But I'm telling you because I'm a testimony that I held on and everything has turned out all right. I'm a blessed man, blessed with a wonderful woman that has been married for 43 years. I'm blessed with 21 grandchildren and a great-grandchild, a beautiful son, three daughters, a beautiful church with beautiful church members. folks that love me, grandbabies that love me, people that love me. God brought me from nothing to something. You know why? Because I held on. I told the devil, you a liar. This is not my testimony. This is not my faith. My life is not going to end here behind these prison bars. I made God a promise. I said, God, if you'll bring me out, I will run for my life. I won't come back here no more. I won't do this no more. I won't mess with these people stuff no more. I will help somebody. I will make a difference in somebody's life. Huh? And guess what I've been doing? God gave me a dream before he called me into the ministry. And in this dream, I was climbing up a mountain, and a whole lot of people was on the mountain. All around the mountain, it was dark, it was night, and there were people all around the mountain by the thousands. And the only time I could see the people is when it lightened. It was lightning and it was thunder. And every time it lightened and thunder, I would climb up the mountain. And it was lightning and thunder some more. I would climb up the mountain. But God was at the top of the mountain, sitting on the throne. And I would climb up the mountain and look up. But what was so good, the people that was on the mountain couldn't climb up the mountain. I was wondering why. So when I got to the top of the mountain, God opened up a book and opened it up. And he told me, that just like he told Jeremiah, he said, I want you to read the book from Genesis to Revelation. God said, I said, the Lord, why is it that he people here? God said, these people are mine. And I said, God, why is it that they can't come to the mountain? He said, that's what I called you for. He said, I called you that you might use this book here and to bring these people up the mountain. He said, they're mine, but they're having problems. They're having trouble trying to come up the mountain. He said, but I called you up here to equip you that I might use you to bring these people up the mountain. And that's what I've been doing ever since. I've been trying to bring people up the mountain. I ain't got time to worry about who's talking about me. I ain't got time, Shataboho. E condada the bullshit. I ain't got time to worry about who lying on me. See, baby, you're spending too much useless time worrying about stuff that don't make no sense. I know folks don't like me. I know folks talking about me. I know folks ain't in my name on the sidewalk. I know folks have said so many times I ain't getting it, I ain't there. And I didn't have time to focus. I was too busy to do what the Lord had me to do that I didn't have time to focus on what they're doing. Refocus. Oh, that's what I'm telling somebody to say. Refocus. You spend too much time on the negative until you can't do the positive. You can't grow in God. You can't go in God because you're spending too much time thinking about what somebody did to you, what they said about you. Let it go. Because God is going to bring you out, and he's going to bring you out victorious. It's up to you to come out victorious. It's up to you to come out a winner. But you've got to quit focusing and worrying about. God can't use you worrying about what folks say about you. You can't be used by God to love people if you don't like people. Do you hear what I'm saying? You've got to like people for one for God to use you to bring people out. You hear what I said? You can't be a leader. You can call yourself an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a priest, a teacher, a pastor, and you don't like people. How God going to use you to help people and you don't like people? Think about what you're doing. Amen. You got to love people with all your heart. You got to love people. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love people like you love yourself. Precious Father, I thank you for this word. It has been a blessing to me this evening. I pray that it be a blessing to somebody else. To encourage them, to let them know, God, that they're coming out. They're not going to stay in what they're in, Lord. They've been in it so long, God, that they think they ain't coming out. They've been in it so long, God, until they done about give up. They done about quit. They done about throw it in the towel. And they done about decided that I ain't coming out of this. But I hope that this word has lit somebody's candle. I hope this word has stirred somebody's feather. I hope this word has caused somebody to get another outlook, to get a new grip, God. Shata. He conned out of the bullshit. I pray this word have lifted somebody's head that will bow down and encourage somebody's heart that will despair that they might know, oh God, that the greater one on the inside. And no matter how it looks, they is coming out. They're coming out a winner. They're coming out victorious. They're coming out on the gaining side, God. Tomorrow going to be greater than today. They're going to be able to look back, God, and be glad that they got over. And they're going to know that you the one that did it, Lord. So bless them one by one. Bless them all together. Everyone that is listening, God, on this Lost Sheep program, whoever they might be, God, whether it be the thousand or about a million, let this word find them where they're at, God, that they might know that you is going to bring them out victoriously on the gaining side. In Jesus' name, I pray and I thank you. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen.
Bobo bo shay.
Thank you, Lord. Use them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. He said, come on up higher.
Come on up higher. Ha, shabba.
Yes, Lord. He said his eyes is on his cheek.
Come on, shabba. Well, well.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hey,
God bless you, Apostle. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.